Take your Bibles, please, and open them to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14 this morning. And we'll be finishing John chapter 14 by reading verses 25 through 31. 25 through 31. We've been in a chapter here in the Gospel of John that's been all about the Lord Jesus encouraging his disciples. And so if you've ever needed encouragement in your life, in your walk, with the Lord, this is a wonderful passage to turn to. And in the life of the disciples, as you can imagine, in that last day, those last hours before the cross, as it was approaching, their fear was rising, their worry at what would happen after Jesus was gone. He told them that he was going away. And so they were fearful, they were worried, looking for help and encouragement. And so we've seen the Lord Jesus does exactly that, telling them that he is going to prepare a place for them, that they've not been wrong. He is the way, the truth, and the life. They've been following the right path, and they've actually seen the Father in him. They've been reassured that Jesus and the Father are one, and they've been reassured that whenever they are in need, when they look to the Father and they ask anything in Jesus' name, when they are after the glory of the Father through the Son, the Lord will answer them, and they don't need to fear that. When their heart is for the Lord, the Lord will answer them. And so last time we also saw that his disciples, Jesus tells them, you will love me and you're going to follow me, you're going to obey my commandments. Why? Because I am sending you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he will be in you, and you will not help but walk in my ways, because the Spirit will be dwelling within you. And so, as we come to the end of this chapter of encouragement from the Lord Jesus, these are the words we read, John 14, verse 25. These things, says Jesus, I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this glorious passage of Scripture. We hear again the Lord Jesus tenderly and patiently and lovingly ministering to his disciples. And so, Lord, we too want to receive that ministry today, those words of encouragement and strength and hope and peace and love and joy. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be at work in us by your Holy Spirit, that we would understand these words, that we would embrace them by faith, and Lord, that we would then go forth today, Lord, with that encouragement that can only come from the lips of our Savior. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this chapter, as we've been saying, the Lord Jesus is all about giving encouragement to his disciples. And this last section here in chapter 14 is no different, where the Lord Jesus is again giving to his disciples. And you probably know this, but that in some cultures, I'm not so sure it's in our culture, but in some cultures of the world, a person or a family, their prestige in the community is not known necessarily by how much they possess, but by how much they give. And in some cultures of the world, you know, you would have a higher status in society, not because you owned a lot of stuff, but because of how much you give as a host. In fact, if you give lavishly and if you give even bankrupting yourself in some cultures, that's seen as as a family that is held in high esteem, not by how much they have, but by how much they give. And friends, in this chapter of John 14, over and over again, we are hearing about Jesus the giver and God the giver. And of course, we can never outgive our God. No one has so lavishly given as the Savior, Jesus. He gives, we've seen in the Gospel of John, he's given his love and his grace and his mercy and his patience and his time and his encouragement to his disciples. And we know, knowing the rest of the Gospel of John, that he will also give his life. But as the cross approaches, the disciples need to again learn this lesson again, that he is the great giver. And they'll learn that because Jesus gives them these parting gifts as he goes to the cross. That's really what they are, parting gifts. The first one we read about in verses 25 through 26, where we read these words from Jesus. "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So here's the first parting gift that Jesus again gives to his disciples. Jesus says that I will give you the Spirit who will, in fact, teach you. You will be taught by the Spirit. Now, he's already referred to the Holy Spirit in this passage as the Spirit of truth, as the Helper, remember, the Comforter, the Encourager, the Advocate. The Holy Spirit's the one who stands with us. The Holy Spirit's the one who, as it were, comes alongside us, calls out to us to keep going, who shouts encouragement to us. That's what the word means. Stands by our side in our defense. But here the Spirit is described by Jesus as the teacher. He's the one who teaches. In a chapter to come, chapter 16, verse 13, we'll read more about the Spirit. 16:13 says this, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." And so the Spirit is given, Jesus says, as a gift. He is the one who is going to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to remind you of all truth. In fact, of all that I have been saying to you. Now, we find this actually throughout the gospel already, because you may remember that even though the disciples had this 3 years of intensive seminary training with the Lord Jesus, you might remember that there were times in the lives of the disciples where they didn't understand, where they didn't get it. Do you remember those passages? In the Gospel of John, there's been a few. And so in John 2:22, for instance, Jesus had been talking to his disciples about raising the temple of his body. And John 2:22 says this, "So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this," that is, that he would raise this temple, "and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken." So at the time when Jesus said, I'm going to raise this temple in 3 days, they didn't get it. But when he rose from the dead, they remembered what Jesus has said, and they believed. That wasn't the only time. Just a couple chapters ago in chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. Remember, and the crowd is shouting, "Your king is coming," seated on a dirt. Jesus finds the donkey and he fulfills scripture, but the people are crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and his disciples are all around. And chapter 12, verse 16 says this, as the disciples watch, "These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him." which is simply to say that there were things that happened in the life of Jesus right in front of the disciples that they didn't understand until only after. And then the Holy Spirit brings them to mind, and they say, yes, I see, I understand now what this was all about and what Jesus was saying. And so this is what Jesus is promising right here. The Spirit is going to teach all things, and he's going to remind these disciples of everything that Jesus has said. In chapter 16, Jesus says about the Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So here's a wonderful parting gift from Jesus to disciples of Christ. The Spirit who will teach you. And he will teach you, he will bring to mind everything that I have said, and he will make it clear to you. He's going to glorify me. Now that's important because the Bible says here, Jesus is saying here that when the Spirit comes, he's not going to come to give you some kind of independent truth. He's not going to come and reveal some kind of new revelation to us, but he is going to speak what he has heard, what is spoken by the Father and the Son. And he's going to take of what Jesus has said, and he's going to disclose more of Jesus to the disciples so that they will understand. And friends, that's encouragement for us who are slow to understand. Have you ever read something in the Bible about Jesus, or maybe a miracle of Jesus, or something that Jesus did or that he said that you don't quite understand? Well, don't feel bad, because the Bible says the disciples who were in Jesus' presence didn't always understand, but the Holy Spirit of God taught them, and disclosed more of Jesus to them. Now, of course, there's a special promise here for the apostles, for those gathered there in that upper room. Because for them, as Jesus leaves, these apostles are going to be given that special task of establishing the church. And they're going to be gathering Scripture together. They're going to be used by God to lay the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And they're going to be writing letters by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we as a church will have the words of Jesus. And as we do have the words of Jesus to build upon and to put our faith in. And so the apostles, in a special way, are given that gift, Jesus says, of the Spirit so that they will be able to lay the foundation of the church. But it's a gift not only to those disciples, you see. Every disciple of Jesus is given this parting gift of Jesus, that is, the Holy Spirit who discloses Jesus to us, who brings to memory what Jesus has said, who brings us back to the Word of God, opens up Scripture to us, shines light on Scripture for us, so that perhaps something we've never seen in its true light suddenly comes alive for us. When I was 18 years old, growing up in my Christian home, I had always had a Bible that I'm aware of, and I had always had a Bible in my room. But until I was 19 years old, as I think back about the Bible in my room, it was always a Bible that was simply on the shelf. It was a Bible that my dad read, on Sunday for family devotions, and sometimes throughout the week. But for all intents and purposes, to me, at 18 or 19, it was a closed book until something happened when I was 19 years old, where, as I shared with you as a congregation, where the Lord convicted me of my sin. And I had grown up in a church, but I wasn't living for the Lord. And I was putting my hope and my trust in all sorts of other things besides Christ. And so, something happened. I can't explain it really. But what I do know is that one day when I went back to my room and I opened that Bible, it was as if I was reading the Bible for the first time. And it actually, I could read the words and I wanted to read more, and I could actually kind of see what was being said. How does that happen? Jesus says, I will give you this gift. I will give you the Spirit who will teach you all things. He will illumine all things. And he will apply what Jesus has said. He will drive it home into your heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And wonderfully, we see some of this already, even in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Do you remember after Jesus rose from the dead, he's on the road to Emmaus, and two are walking with him, and they are so discouraged, and Jesus has died, and Jesus now all of a sudden walking with him, but they don't recognize him. And this is what Jesus says to them as he's walking along with them. He said to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." In other words, they had all the Bible. "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. So they had the scriptures, but they didn't see it. And so Jesus then explains it to them. But notice what the Bible goes on to say. "These men said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" And while he was explaining the scriptures to us, they were having their hearts burn. And later, we read this. "Now Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And so already in the life of Jesus, unless you had heartburn and unless your mind was opened, you wouldn't really understand what Jesus had said. And so this is Jesus' promise to his disciples. "I'm going, but I'm going to give you the Spirit who will teach you. And he will shed light on everything I've said so that your hearts will burn and your mind will open to the truth of Jesus." And so that's a gift from Jesus, Spirit who teaches, and we all need to be taught. That's not the only gift he gives, though, here in these last hours before his death. Notice what verse 27 says as we follow along here. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So the first gift is the Holy Spirit, who's going to teach us, teach disciples, and bring to remembrance everything Jesus has said so that we believe it, understand it, embrace it. But the second thing Jesus says as he leaves is, "I will leave you with peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Now, this is the second time that Jesus has spoken to these disciples about their troubled hearts and their fearful hearts. You remember the beginning of the chapter, the first time Jesus mentions their troubled hearts, how he encouraged them. His encouragement to them in the beginning of John 14 was this: you need to believe in God. You need to trust God when you have a troubled heart. They were troubled. Someone was going to betray him. Someone was going to deny him. Don't have a troubled heart. Instead, the answer for that, the antidote to a troubled heart and fearful heart for you and I and the disciples, to believe God, to trust his word, to trust his promises, no matter what the circumstances are around us. If we fear that the earth is giving way underneath our feet, Jesus' first answer to that fear is, well, we need to look to the one who holds the world in our hands. Trust God when you're fearful. But the second thing he says here now for the troubled heart is this second parting gift for a troubled heart. Peace. Peace from Jesus. He's going to leave them peace. The word peace there is the word from which we get the word irenic. Have you ever heard of someone? We maybe don't use it very often, maybe because we don't have very many people that way. But an irenic person is someone who is always working for peace. An irenic person is a peaceable person. An irenic person longs to see God's people, for instance, loving each other and serving each other and being at peace with one another, not struggling and fearful and conflicted with one another, but at peace. That's where that word comes from. In the Hebrew, it's the word shalom. It means to be at rest, not fearful, not troubled, but a heart, soul, mind at rest. So Jesus says, peace now to these disciples. He says, peace I leave you. I leave you. Now, it's interesting because the word leave there is actually a word that means to release, or to let go. It's actually the same word that's elsewhere translated in the Bible as forgive. When Jesus says, I leave you peace, he's saying, I forgive you peace, or I let go peace. Because that's really what forgiveness is, right? Forgiveness is, as it were, you're letting go, you're releasing someone of their debt to you. But here, Jesus is letting go peace into the life of his disciples. My peace, he says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Now here's the important thing, friends. Jesus is saying here that his gift of peace is absolutely unique. It is his peace. It is a peace from him. It is peace established by him. It is distinct. The peace that the world gives is the kind of peace Jeremiah talks about of the false prophets, where the false prophets would say, peace, peace. But there is no peace. There is no peace. But Jesus says, my peace is not like the world. My peace is true peace. It is lasting peace. Why is that? Because the peace that Jesus, of course, is talking about is the peace that you and I and every one of us should be most concerned with. Not peace, first of all, in the Middle East, but peace with God. How do we know that? Well, because Romans 5:1, for instance, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is talking about peace with God. That's what he leaves for his disciples. Ephesians 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Jews and Greeks together find peace, peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know that elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul will talk about, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. The Apostle Paul in Philippians will talk about how when we are fearful, we are to rejoice always and to pray with thanksgiving. And he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You can't understand where this peace comes from or how such peace is possible, but the peace that transcends all our understanding is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, why is that? Why is this peace so important, friends? Well, because this is the peace, of course, that's rooted in Christ's sacrifice, you see. He's saying, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. I give true and lasting peace. Why? Because I am the one who's going to die on the cross for your sins so that you can have a relationship with a holy God who looks at you and sees your sin. And there's no way you can be at peace. You're actually at war with God. You're an enemy of God. You're in rebellion against God. As long as you have this undealt with sin and rebellion in your heart and you're at war with him. But Jesus says, through me, through my sacrifice, I give you peace. Because I will go to the cross, as he would very shortly, to die for the sins of his people. And so here's a parting gift from Jesus. Not only the Spirit who teaches disciples the truth, opens our minds and hearts to the truth of the Word of God, who Jesus is and what he's done. But here's another parting gift from Jesus. You will have peace in your heart because you're at peace with God through me and through my sacrifice. Real peace. Now, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember that 80 years ago, on September 30th, Britain was on the brink of armed conflict with Germany. Adolf Hitler had just annexed Austria earlier in the year, and he had vowed to invade Czechoslovakia on October 1st, a step that many obviously believe would lead to war. So just 2 days before that deadline, you may remember that Hitler agreed to meet in Munich with Neville Chamberlain, also the Italian leader Benito Mussolini, and the French premier, to discuss a peaceful resolution to the crisis. And so they met without any input from Czechoslovakia, and they decided to give the Sudetenland to Hitler. And Chamberlain also separately drafted a non-aggression pact between Britain and Germany that Hitler signed. And when news of that diplomatic breakthrough came through to the British capital, the city of London, some said, responded like a death row prisoner granted a last-minute reprieve. It was a peace. Peace had come. Jubilation, we're told, waves of relief washed over London in a celebration that had not been since the armistice that silenced the guns of World War I. Thousands of people waited for Prime Minister Chamberlain to return to London. Crowds cheered at the airport as he got out of the airplane. And as he got out of the airplane, he held up the non-aggression pact high for all to see. And that was an agreement that within its words said this. It expressed the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again. And so Chamberlain met with the king and the queen. He went back to his home on 10 Downing Street. People were singing, "For he's a jolly good fellow." And then on the second floor, he came out the second floor window and addressed the crowd using words from Benjamin Disraeli's famous statement in 1878. And he said this, "My good friends, this is the second time in our history," he said to these British folks, "that there has come back from Germany to Downing Street peace with honor. I believe it is peace for our time." And then he said this, "Now I recommend you to go home and to sleep quietly in your beds." And so many went home and thought, peace in our time. And as those folks slept, Germany marched into Czechoslovakia. Bombers would later roar over London, and the world would be plunged into war. It was not peace for our time. It was war. Why is that? Because man's peace is cheap, and man's word is broken, and man's treaties do not last, friends. And notice what Jesus says here. "This is not the kind of peace I give you. I don't give to you peace. I don't give you this gift as the world gives. That is, I don't give you something that I will take back. I don't give you peace with God, something that you're going to have to fret over for the rest of your life. Maybe you have it, maybe you don't. I'm not going to give you something that God will later turn around and say, well, yes, I know what Christ has done on the cross for your sin, but after all, I'm still going to hold you accountable at the great day for your sin." No, it's not that kind of peace. The peace I give to you, Jesus says, lasts. It is eternal. It is peace with God through faith in me. He's our Father through Jesus, and we are at peace. This is the gift of Jesus. This is the gift to us when we embrace Him by faith. But friends, without Him, of course, there is no peace in your relationship to God. This is the important thing, friends, what Jesus is saying here. He gives the gift of peace, but it's a peace only through Him. Without Him, you and I are still at war with God. You see, we are still at war with God unless we receive this peace that Jesus gives. Without his mediation, without his work on the cross, without our embracing his work on the cross, you and I are still declared enemies of the King. And you are fearful and you are troubled. But in him, you see, in him, all is at rest, all is at peace. And you see, friends, these are the gifts that the Lord Jesus gives to his disciples before the cross. They are gifts that the Lord Jesus gives to us as his people. He gives us the Spirit to teach us. So that when we open the Word of God, what are we depending on? We're not depending upon our own wisdom or our own study or anything like that. But the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus says, will bring to remembrance, will bring to your mind, will convict you and open up to you and highlight to you and shine light on the truth as it is in Jesus. And that's the wonderful blessing of the work of the Spirit. But the Lord also says, as he goes to the cross, what does he have for us? He has for us a kind of peace that the world cannot give you. A kind of peace with God, the peace of God. Friends, that's not available. That's not available from our government. It's not available across the sea. It's not available anywhere else, Jesus says, but from him. It's his peace. My peace I give to you. And how has it become yours and mine, friends? Simply through faith in him. And we can embrace that peace, and we can embrace that truth that he gives to us by his Spirit. And so, friends, let's be thankful today for these parting gifts of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit who teaches, and the peace we have with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your indescribable gift. Lord, we thank you that we can again see the Lord Jesus coming alongside his disciples here in this trying hour for them, as the storms would soon come, Judas and the soldiers and the cross, and the doubts would come and the fears would come, and Lord, they would become very forgetful of what you had said. And so, Lord, we're so thankful that you promised them here and you promise us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you do teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth, that the Spirit takes from what is Jesus and declares it unto us. And Lord, how we need that illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, how often the Word of God, the Scripture, or a sermon, or a Bible reading is closed to our ears, that we don't understand and we don't see and we don't believe. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, that your Holy Spirit would be at work even today, Lord, opening up the truth of who Jesus is, that he is the one in whom and only through whom we might have peace with God, that you are holy, that we are sinful, and Lord, that the only way we might enter into the presence of you, our holy God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the one who's given his life, who has died on the cross for sinners like us, that when we believe in him, we indeed, Lord, will not face condemnation. But Lord, we might be justified and be set free from our yoke of slavery to sin, that we might be set free to live in your presence as your holy people. Help us, Lord, we pray, to know that peace today that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen.